This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, I want to do a quick recap on the Dawah of Ibrahim عليه السلام. Before we go any further, we have spoken about his dawah, what he did with different people. And it begins with the dawah that he gave to his own father, to Azar. And he tried to tell him, and his whole, Ibrahim alayhi salam's whole focus was, when he spoke to this people, was to talk about, he's asking people, why are you doing what you are doing? You know, why are you doing what you're doing? Because he says that you're doing something which does not make any sense. So why do you do something which does not make any sense? And then he's saying, if it makes sense to you, explain it to me. Right? It doesn't make sense to you that you are worshipping something that cannot harm you, cannot benefit you, something which has no power, nothing, and you continue to worship. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? Now, think about when the whole purpose of these lectures is to, inshallah, enable us to practice what we hear. My purpose is to remind myself when I'm speaking to you, and you should sit here with the intention of looking at your own life and saying, what change has come into my life from listening to these lectures over all this period of time? Because we don't want either of us, I don't want myself and I don't want you, to go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then to have whatever we learned as a witness against us. Where we go before Allah and then we have to answer, why is it that we didn't pay attention? My Shaykh Nuri Shah Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say, he used to give this hidayat before he began any talk. He used to say to the people who are sitting there, the audience, he would say, sit here with only one intention, which is to look at yourself and to change yourself. He used to say, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the words to the speaker which can change your life. Don't sit here to criticize the speaker. Don't sit here to increase your the information you have, increase the ma'lumat you have. Don't sit here to learn some new technique or learn some new story or learn some new example that you can now go and quote to others and look good before them. He would say, don't do any of this. Sit here with only one intention, which is that my life must change. He used to say, make ruju ila Allah and sit in the majlis with only one intention, which is, how can my life change? And he used to say to the speakers, speak also with this one intention, which is to say, how can my life, meaning the life of the speaker, how can my life change because of what I'm saying? And make dua and ask Allah, O Allah, give me the words which will be beneficial for myself and which will be beneficial for my listeners. He would say, remove yourself from the middle, become a flute in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing inside. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala play the tune. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable you and make you say what He wants people to hear. Remove your ego, remove your own self, remove your likes and dislikes, remove everything to do with you from the middle of this equation. Get out from between Allah and His slaves. So I remind myself and you, let us sit with this, both me and you, let us sit with this intention in this majalis. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam, as I said, let's do a quick recap of the methodology of Da'wah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the purpose of doing the recap about the methodology of Da'wah is not to teach you how to do Da'wah, right? That may happen, but that's not the reason. The reason is to look at ourselves and say, all the things that Ibrahim alayhi salam said to the people about worshipping of idols, am I also worshipping idols? Now, obviously, I know you are not worshipping idols, you are not putting some, you know, an idol in front, and you're not bowing to it or making some sujood to it. But worship of idol is not restricted, even though in this particular case, Ibrahim alayhi salam was talking to idol worshippers. He was talking to people who worshipped stone idols or wooden idols or whatever it was. And this was true. Idol worship was widespread, and it has been throughout the centuries. All the Babylonian people were idol worshippers, the Egyptians were by idol worshippers, long before then the Greeks and the Romans were idol worshippers, and so on. So idol worship has been on the face of the earth for aeons. So he is talking, but here the point I'm making is that idol worship is not restricted to material idols made of this or that material. Idol worship is also the idols in the heart. We have idols in the heart. We have idols of hatred and enmity, and we have idols of greed, and we have idols of jealousy, and we have idols of fear, of hope. We look for hope from, we hope for benefit from creatures, and we fear harm from creatures. Whereas we know la nafi wa la dharra illallah, we know that nothing can harm and nothing can benefit except Allah. We know that with our tongues, but in our heart is something else. I'm reminded of one of the beautiful quotes of Hazrat Shams Tabriz rahmatullahi alayh, the Shaykh of Maulana Rum rahmatullahi alayh. Shams Tabriz used to say, if the word comes out of the heart, it will reach the heart. If the word comes out of the heart, it will reach the heart. If the word comes out of the tongue, it will stop at the ear. Right? So he's talking about people who are speaking. If you speak from your heart, it will reach the heart of the listeners. But even more, he's talking about yourself. And he's saying that if you are saying something really with your heart, then your heart will change, inshallah. But if you are simply repeating, if you are simply speaking with your tongue, then the word will stop at your ear. The example I give you, and I've given you before, is that of Tasbih Fatimi. Now think about that. That what is the story? What is the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ with regard to this Tasbih Fatimi? Tasbih Fatimi is 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 33 times Allahu Akbar, and La ilaha illallah at the end of that. What is the story behind this? The story behind this, as we all know, is that Fatima to Zahra radiallahu anha, the daughter of Rasulullah ﷺ, who was married to Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, she was, one day she felt very tired and so on. And, you know, she would get very tired because she took care of everything in the house and cooking and grinding flour and, you know, all of that and looking after whatever animal they had in the house. All of this and carrying water, you know, you're not looking at hot and cold running water in the taps. So she got very tired, and one day she said to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, it so happened that Rasulullah had received some prisoners of war. So she said to Sayyidina Ali, she said, go and ask my father for a servant for me from the prisoners of war, so that my workload can be lessened, so that I can have some help. So Sayyidina Ali refused. I mean, he was always very shy to go before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he said, no, I can't go. If you want to go, you go. He's your father, so go ask him. So Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha, she went she went and stood at the door of Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif from behind the curtain. She moved the curtain aside and she saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were a lot of people around him. He also saw her standing there. But Fatima radiallahu anha didn't have the... She was again a very highly dignified person, very shy, so she didn't go into the room. She didn't want to, you know, go in front of all those people and ask him anything. So she went back. Now, that evening, when the work was finished, and Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhuma had retired, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked into their house, and he walked into their room. And so they immediately started to get up. He said, "No, stay, lie down, don't need to get up." And then he asked Fatima radiallahu anha, he said, my beloved daughter, why did you come? You came to see me, what did you need?" So Fatima radiallahu anha, even there, she didn't say anything. So then Ali said, "Ya Rasulullah, she wanted to ask you for a servant. She came to ask you to give a lot, allocate one of the prisoners of war to our house so that she has some help in her housework. Because she is getting very tired, and at the end of the day, you know, she has pain in her body. So she wants some help. She came to ask you, but she was too shy to come in the, you know, in your majlis with all of those people there, so she didn't ask." Rasulullah ﷺ said to her, "I cannot give you a servant because the other things I have to do, those people, I need them for something else." He said, "But shall I show you something which is better than that? Shall I show you something which will take away all your pain, which will give you ease, and which will give you relief, and which at the end of the day you will feel completely happy and content? Shall I teach you something which will do all this?" So of course she said, "Ya Rasulullah, please teach me what this is." And he taught her this tasbih. 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 33 times Allahu Akbar. And then La ilaha illallah at the end of that. Now, think about this. And this is what I always remind myself and you. We also recite this tasbih. Rasulullah ﷺ did not tell her, he didn't say to his daughter, "Read this tasbih and Allah will give you Jannah. Inshallah, Allah will give her Jannah. She is the leader of the..." He's saying, "Use this to solve your worldly problem, which is my whole body is paining, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. At the end of the day, I need some relief, I need some help in my work. Even during the day, I need barakah in my time. What must I do? Here is the tasbih." Now, think about this. You also recite this tasbih, I also recite this tasbih. Is it happening for us? At the end of the day, before I go to bed, I mean, we recite this tasbih, of course, at the end of every Fard Salah. And this is part of the morning and evening azkar. So at the end of the day, before we go to sleep, we recite this tasbih. Are all our worldly cares falling away? Is my body free of pain? Am I getting complete relief? All my tiredness has gone away. I am feeling nice and fresh and relaxed, and I get this beautiful sleep. Is it happening? And if it's not happening, then ask yourself, why is it not happening? Because this is something which Rasulullah ﷺ taught his daughter, radiallahu anha. So there cannot be, I mean, what is our aqidah? There cannot be a fault with the prescription. Right? We can't say, well, you know what? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught her something which actually doesn't work. No, we can't say that because that's not our aqidah, it's not our belief. So what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught her is something which works. But with me, it is not working. So where is the fault? Where is the fault? My brothers and sisters, the whole purpose of these lectures is for us to practice Islam, for us to live Islam, for us to bring Islam into our lives. So I remind you and myself that let us look at it from that perspective. So Ibrahim alayhi salam now is talking to the people about idols. He's talking to idol worshippers who worship stone and wood and whatnot, idols made of that. But let us look at ourselves and say that even though I don't worship stone idols, maybe there are idols in my heart that need to be removed. Maybe my heart needs to be cleaned. Maybe I am an idol worshipper. May Allah protect me. Without going to a temple, without going and bowing before an idol, I am still an idol worshipper, because in my heart are the idols, are the icons of my own desires. And if you think I am dreaming, no. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called desire. He called it the ilah. He called it the deity. He said, Ara'aita mani takhadha ilahahu hawa. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have you not seen those who have taken their own hawa, they have taken their own desires as ilah? Why does Allah use the word ilah? What do we say in the kalima? La ilah. La ilaha illallah. There is no ilah except Allah. There is no, I bear witness, ashadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that I have no deity except Allah. That I do not worship anyone other than Allah. That nobody is worthy of worship except Allah. Allah is using the same word, ilah. Ara'aita, have you not seen? Man ittakhadha ilaha hawa. Have you not seen those who have taken as their ilah, as their objects of worship, as their gods, as their idols, as their deities, their own desires? Now what is the meaning of that? Does it mean you put a bottle of Shiva's Regal and do sujood to it? No. It means that when on the one hand I have an order of Allah and on the other hand I have my desire, I give precedence to my desire and I ignore or disobey the order of Allah. This is tantamount to worshipping the desire instead of worshipping Allah. On the one hand is my desire to increase my business, and the only way I can do that is by borrowing money on interest. On one hand is my desire to build a house, and the only way I can do that, or I think the only way I can do that, is by borrowing money on interest. On the one hand is my desire to have a nice big widescreen TV in my house, and the way to do that is to borrow money on interest. All the different reasons and maybe more of borrowing money on interest, this is my desire. And on the other hand is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's complete and total absolute prohibition on borrowing money on interest. Allah did not say, do not borrow money on interest unless there is a situation where you have no other means. No, Allah didn't say that. Allah said, do not do it. So on the one hand you have this, do not borrow, and on the other hand I have my desire. Now which one do I follow? Which one do I follow? That shows who I worship. Do I worship my desire or do I worship Allah? I want to drink alcohol, I want to smoke marijuana, I want to indulge in some kind of substance abuse, some kind of drug, I want to vape, I want to smoke cigarettes, right? So on the one hand is all these desires. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited all of that. Which one do I do? Now, I don't want to make a long list. You know what your desires are and you know what the order of Allah is with respect to that particular thing. If you don't know, go find out. Which one do you do? Because that will show whether you are an idol worshipper or not. Because Allah called this idol worship. And if that is the case, if I find that I am worshipping my desires, what must I do? Immediately make istighfar. Immediately leave it. Immediately drop it. Don't wait. Don't reduce the number. Immediately drop it. Throw away the cigarette packet. Smash the bottle of alcohol. right? Go to the bank, get out of that interest thing. If you have to sell your house, sell your house. You don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment with your list in the names of the enemies of Allah. Because that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He will do. Allah declared war on the one who deals in interest. So Ibrahim alayhi salam here is speaking to the people. And the first da'wah that he gave is in his own house, to his own father. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've already mentioned all of these ayats to you and so on. And these are the ayat of Surah Maryam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam gave da'wah to his father. And he said to his father, why do you worship that which cannot hear, which cannot see you, and it cannot avail you anything? It can't give you any benefit, it can't harm you. Why do you do that? Right? Do not worship shaitan. Verily, shaitan has been a rebel against the most beneficent against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya abati, la ta'budi shaitan, inna shaitana kana lirrahmani asiyya. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is giving da'wah to his father with regard to the worship of idols. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam gives da'wah to his father's people. Right? Now think about this, that da'wah begins at home. And leadership is on the basis of knowledge. Kufr and shirk will always be the enemies of tawheed, even if the one preaching is your own son, even if the one preaching is your own friend. Kufr and tawheed will always be on two opposite sides. Right? Shirk and kufr will always be against tawheed. The Khulafa Rashida, these were ulama. They were the biggest ulama of the time. So were people like Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayh, and others. Today, the fasad is because leadership is given to those who are unfit. Imaratu sufaha, leadership of fools. My brothers and sisters, what we need to do therefore is to stand out, is not to blend in, right? To preserve our identity, not blend in and become one of the sheep. Separating ourselves psychologically from others, not separating physically in monasteries. Separating ourselves psychologically and standing out in good, positive ways. This is the biggest way of da'wah. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam's da'wah then, he made da'wah to his father's people. And again, he said the same thing to them. All the ayat of Surah Anbiya, where he said, which means, when he said to his father and his people, what are these images to which you are devoted? What are these idols to which you are devoted? And they said, we found our fathers worshipping them. This is our tradition. This is what we have always done. And he said, indeed, you and your fathers have been in manifest error. So this brings us to the second part of the story, which is that just doing something because somebody else was doing it. Many times we find in our society also we have various customs and practices. And if you ask people, why are you doing this? They say, nahi, wo hamari tehzeeb aisi chhe. This is our tradition. This is our tradition. This is our tehzeeb. Now, that is not a reason to continue. There has to be a logical reason why you are doing something, especially with regard to worship. And that logical reason in worship is and can only be what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Nothing else. Anyone or anything else, whoever it was, whether it was your peer, your murshid, your sheikh, your guru, your teacher, your ustad, whoever it is, if he or tells you something which is in keeping with what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, then we obey. If he tells you something which is different from what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, then we disobey. We do not obey. Even our own parents, we do not obey them if they are telling us something that goes against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered and what His Nabi alayhi salam taught us. So here in Ibrahim alayhi salam's case, we also see the same thing, where he's telling his people, he's asking his people, why are you doing that? And their standard response, oh, but you see, this is what we have always done, this is our tradition, this is our culture. He says, no, there's no culture, there's no tradition, where it goes against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. All culture and tradition must be in keeping with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. So, the essence of Tawheed, this is the essence of Tawheed, that we do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in opposition to what may go against it. Right? We are not concerned with what people say or don't say. We are focused on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. We saw the result of this, which is that the people, they decided to kill Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this is the standard response when people cannot argue logically against what you are saying, they get angry. Right? When people get angry with you, think about this, that the person is not angry with you, the person is angry with themselves. Because they are saying to themselves that I do not have an answer. So I'm angry with this person for raising that question within myself. So whenever you feel angry, when somebody is presenting you with an argument, a logical argument, a sensible argument, and you feel angry, you want to yell and scream at that person, you would have liked to kill the person, you don't have the authority, so you don't do that. But those who had the authority, they tried. That is how Ambiya got killed, not because they were wrong, but because they were right. And people get angry, we get angry, because the person is now forcing me to look at a part of myself, is forcing me to look at something I'm doing or saying, which I don't want to look at. So the person is, the anger is really directed at yourself, but it's projected outwards at the individual. And the person who is angry feels that if they can somehow shut up this person, by whichever way, so you either force the person to keep quiet, or you deny the person the opportunity to speak, or where you have the authority, you jail the person, you kill the person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this whole story in Surah Yasin, where we know all of the ayat of the Anbiya who came to the people of Antioch and whatever happened. So the point is that people, this is the standard reaction of people who really lost the argument. If you think about that, they have lost the argument. They have no argument. They have only one choice, which is to accept the truth which is coming to them. But they do not want to accept the truth. So what do? They react. They say, I'm going to kill you. Killing the person does not change the truth, right? If somebody tells you that, look, your house is on fire, so get out of the house, right? Escape. Put out the fire or escape. And you say, no, I don't like what you are saying. Right? I hate your face. I don't like you. I'm going to kill you. No problem. Kill the person. Does it save your house? Does it save you? This is a standard reaction of people who get, news of terminal illness as well. Right? We call it the Sarah response, S-A-R-A-H. There is shock. Right? Then there is anger, S-A, anger. And then there is rejection. No, it's not happening to me. Right? First of all, shock. Wow, this happened to me. How can it be? Angry. How can you tell me this? And this is where they kill the messenger, shoot the messenger. And then there is rejection. So no, I don't believe this. And after we go through these three very traumatic phases, then inshallah, at some point you get acceptance. Yes, this is me. This is happening to me. I have cancer. I have something which is terminally wrong with me. I need to correct that. And then there is H, which is help or hope at the end of that. So I seek that. So this is standard response. So people now are saying to me, no, we are going to kill you. Because why? Because he is wrong? No. Because he is right and I know he is right. But if I accept he is right, then I have to accept that I am wrong. And that is not possible. I cannot accept that I am wrong, even though I know that I am wrong. So they try to kill him. So they tied him up and they put him in this thing and they threw him into the fire, and we know all of that story. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said this dua when he was threatened with enemies who gathered around him, and that is a dua for us to say, Hasbi Allah huwa ni'mal wakil, or hasbun Allah huwa ni'mal wakil, the plural. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all the enemies that have gathered to harm us, those we can see and those we cannot see, insha'Allah. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam moved out of that place, and he was called by the king, who was Nimrud. He was supposed to be a great warrior and a very powerful monarch of the people of Babylon. He called him and he tried to argue with Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ قَالَ أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتُ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِي بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah said, have you not looked at him who disputed with Ibrahim alayhi salam about his Rabb, because Allah had given him the kingdom? This is the tragedy of the human being, that the human being rebels against the one who does him the best, who does him good. You know, the thing about dogs, it says a dog does not bite the hand that feeds it. Yeah, even a dog has that much of honor, but human beings do not have that honor. The human being bites the hand which feeds it, which is very tragic. But this is a very sadly our reality. So here is Nimrod. Allah has given him everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him power and wealth and all of that. And mulk, has given him land and has given him this country. And who does he rebel against? Allah. Why? Because he calls himself God. He said, I am God, worship me. Fir'aun was not the only one who claimed divinity. Believe me, this, if you read history, there have been any number. All the Roman emperors considered themselves to be divine. They had temples built to them, to themselves. People worshipped them, both while they were alive and after they had died. So this is an old tradition. The Egyptian pharaohs, we know they did that. Nimrod did that. There were kings in India who did that, who considered themselves to be God and had people worshipping them. May Allah forgive us. They were Muslim kings who had this tradition of, they didn't claim to be God, but they had this tradition where the traditional form of greeting the king was to make sajda to him. People used to come into the courts of the, I know the names of the kings, I'm not saying it because I'm ashamed to say it, but these are Muslim kings whose tradition, court tradition was that the person who comes into the court must prostrate before the king. So they would have them fall flat on their faces, or they would have them make sujood, or they would have them crawl to them holding grass in their mouth, because as a sign to say, I am your cattle, I am your sheep, I am your cow, if you want you can kill me. And this was the arrogance of kings. And they forget that the one who gave them that kingdom prohibited them from doing this, prohibited anyone from making sajda to anyone except himself, and they take it upon themselves. They used to give themselves titles of Shahin Shah, right? Shahin Shah, of a title of Malikul Muluk, yeah, right? Alamgir, Shah Jahan, right? All of these titles are titled which Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates these names. Allah hates these titles, right? Shah Alam, the king of the world. La hawla quwwata illa billah. How can you call yourself Shah Alam? Are you the king of the world? I mean, seriously, ask yourself this question. Change that name. If your parents in their ignorance gave you that name, change the name. If that is a title you have, reject that title. We have Shah Jahan in our history, right? We have Shahin Shah. We have Alamgir. All of these are titles. All of these are haram titles. These are not permitted in Islam. Islamically, these are prohibited titles. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes them. So Allah is saying here was Nimrod. And Nimrod, when Ibrahim alayhi salam disputed, when Ibrahim alayhi salam came to him, he disputed. And when Ibrahim alayhi salam told him to worship Allah, he had claimed godhood. So he said, what can your God do? Ibrahim alayhi salam says, my Allah gives life and he gives death. Ibrahim alayhi salam, this Namrud said, I can give life and give death. And he ordered two prisoners to be brought who had been condemned to death. He set one free and he killed the other one. And he said, see, I have given life and death. Now, this is so ignorant, so stupid, so foolish that I don't even have to explain to you why this is wrong. I mean, you can be clear. He's not giving life or death, right? He just decided to kill somebody or not to kill somebody. It's not a question of giving life and death. And if he killed that person without cause, then he is, he is guilty of murder himself. So, he says this. So, Ibrahim alayhi salam, the response to it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the sun out from the east. Why don't you bring it out from the west? And Allah, and then he said, and so Allah said that the disbeliever is utterly defeated, and Allah does not guide the people who are zalimun, who are the oppressors. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam left Babylon, and he went to Ash-Sham. The beautiful life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a traveler. Ibrahim alayhi salam never settled in a place. He was always moving from one place to another. His whole life was hijrah. Continuously, he is doing hijrat from one place to the other. So he left Babylon and he went to Ash-Sham. And Sham is the whole area which today comprises of Syria, of Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon. That entire area is really what was called the Mulk al-Sham. So today it's been divided into many different countries, but it was one place. This is before the age of nation states. So it was not one country with one ruler or leader, but it was one whole area was considered to be one place, one country. And on the way, he passed through a place called Haran. There, people worshipped sun, and they worship the sun and the moon and the stars. Now again, this is something which is common. We have this in India also. Sun worshippers, moon worshippers, Surya Vanshi, Chandra Vanshi, people who say they are descended from the sun and the moon. They call themselves the children of the sun and the moon. I mean, how does... Again, this is the whole problem with idol worship, is that there is no logic that is related with it. If you ask somebody, I mean, a lot of the Rajput kings, they used to call themselves Surya Vanshi, descended from the children of the sun. You ask them, how does a ball of gas have children? Please tell me. Are you a ball of gas? Are you a small ball of gas? Then how do you call yourself? I'm a child of the sun. What do you mean by that? Right? I'm a child of the moon. A dead piece of rock in the sky, that has children? I mean, the problem is that there is no logic in idol worship. There is it is all in the mind. It's all figments of the imagination that people have created. They have created imaginary gods, and then they have created symbols which they claim to represent the imaginary god, and they're worshipping that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haq, qul al-haqqu min rabbikum faman sha'a falyu'minu waman sha'a falyakfur. Allah said, say to them that your Lord, your Rabb, your creator, your sustainer, your maintainer, he is the haq, he is the truth, and everything else is false. And you are free to accept it or to reject it. It does not change the reality. The reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haq and everything else is false. So these people now in Haran, they are worshipping the sun and the moon and the stars. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam, he went and he gave them da'wah. And he said, He mentioned this whole thing to them, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَأَى كَوْكَبًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَئِنْ لَمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّي لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الضَّالِّينَ فَلَمَّا رَأَى الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرُ فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. The dua that we make in Salah, before we start Salah. And Allah said in Surah Al-An'am, and remember when Ibrahim said to his father, Azar, do you take Aliha, idols, as gods? Verily I see you and your people in manifest error. And thus did we show Ibrahim the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, that he should be of those who have faith with certainty. When the night covered him over with darkness, he saw a star, and he said, this is my Rabb. And when it set, he said, I do not like that. I do not like those that set. And when he saw the moon rising up, he said, this is my Rabb. And when it set, he said, unless my Rabb guides me, I will surely be among the erring people, among the people who make a mistake. And when he saw the sun rising up, he said, this is my Rabb, this is greater. But when it set, he said, oh my people, I am indeed free from all that you join as partners in worship with Allah. Verily, I have turned my face towards him who has created the heavens and the earth, Hanifan, which is monotheism, Islam, and I am not from the Mushrikun. Inshallah, we will look at these ayat and their meaning and the da'wah of Ibrahim alayhi salam in the next class. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make these lectures, the speaker and the listeners, the beneficiaries of this, so that our hearts change, so that we come 100% on Tawheed, that we are focused only on Allah. And the sign of that is that the heart must be free of fear of anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.